Welcome to the Providence College Podcast. I'm your host, Stacia Walmsley. As Mother's Day approaches and in recognition of the college's celebration of then, now, next 50 years of women at PC, we are excited to welcome a mother-daughter alumni pair as our guests today. Marianne Knott is a member of class of 1976, and Maura Scarborough is here as a member of the class of 2011. So Marianne, Maura, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Stacia. Very nice to be here.
Thanks for having us.
So at PC, we talk a lot about Friar family, but for the two of you, the connection to Providence College is really a family affair. So I'm wondering, Marianne, starting off with you, you know, I know your father was an alum. And so I'm wondering, what are some of your earliest memories about his maybe discussing and talking about his alma mater, or, you know, how early in life were you introduced to PC?
So I actually don't remember a time when I didn't know about PC. My dad was a very proud alumni, and he would watch the PC games and cheer for them. We all knew, I'm the oldest of seven, we all knew the, you know, let's go Friar cheer. And he was very proud of his connection to PC and really felt that he owed everything he achieved in his life to PC. He had gone there from the Navy. And so he really felt it changed his life. So PC, but I always knew it was an all-male school until I was in high school. And then they sent out and pulled the alumni and asked them, what about, you know, making this co-ed? And my dad, as the father of six daughters, immediately said yes and sent it in. And then as soon as it became co-ed, he took me down there to look at the school. And then I just fell in love with it on the spot, and that was it.
Any of your sisters or your brother go to PC?
My brother and all but one of my sisters.
Wow, yes.
So the last one went to, so six out of the seven of us went. The last one went to Holy Cross. But we got her turned around because her two daughters are going to be friars. So
that's awesome. And so, Maura, I'm wondering if you remember early on, especially with aunts and your uncle and your granddad, you know, thinking about Providence College, did you know that this was something you were interested in going there? Or did you have a moment of thinking you might rebel and kind of break the the chain?
It's funny you say that. I definitely had a rebel spirit. That was always my persona. So I was adamantly convinced it would not be the right fit for me until I went and saw the campus, saw other campuses to compare. And I just knew that that was the place I belonged, that it just fit what I had pictured in my mind. And I tell the same to anybody going to look at any campus. Can you picture yourself there? Because that's what really turned it around for me. I could picture myself there and happily remained on campus for 4 years and didn't want to be anywhere else.
So what did PC do to meet your expectations, Maura? So what are some of the things you did to get involved either academically or outside the classroom?
For me, the feel of the campus where I had a lot of options for classes, extracurriculars, but the campus itself wasn't overwhelming, where I could navigate it within a day. I had friends at a school that the joke would be by the end of your 4 years, you hoped to reach 4 points of the campus. And I couldn't imagine that. I wanted more of a family feeling. So I was really excited to have that at PC. And in terms of the classes, I had ideas. I was actually in high school, I wanted to be a wedding planner. That was what I thought I wanted to be, applied for business majors to go that way. And when I returned my acceptance, I switched because my heart was starting to really link up with psychology, and that really fit for a long time, the message in my heart of I wanted to, you know, help others. So I switched gears, and there was a lot of options at PC, you know, with that. I was leaning towards psychology. I thought it fit my interest, but beyond that, there were other degree programs too. So I just knew, although I was totally changing my plan at the last minute, that it would all be fine because I'd get to try out things. And I did. So I did a lot of courses for with my electives to try out other departments as well.
Well, and I think that that's an experience that's really common. And we, especially with a place like PC, where there are a lot of options, somebody might take classes really at the beginning in Civ and decide, oh boy, there's something here for me that I didn't even expect. How was it for you, Marianne, when Maura decided she was changing her major and all that? How are you feeling about all that? I know that sometimes can be tricky for a parent.
Well, I supported her when she thought she wanted to be a wedding planner, but I thought that there was a lot more that she could have done, because she always had this idea that she wanted to help people. And helping as a wedding planner is great, but you're helping them for one day. I thought it would be nicer if she could be helping them for their life. So I was really happy when she was going to go there, but I had to, you know, she mentioned she had a rebellious spirit. I had to make sure that I didn't push it too hard, because then she would go who knows where.
And I'm wondering if you could tell me a little bit, Marianne, watching your daughter experience PC, what were some of the things that maybe were a little different about your experience compared to Maura's?
Well, I could say one of the big things I was quite jealous of was the way that the food halls were set up in Ray now. We used to have one meal choice and a can of peanut butter at the end if you didn't want that. So I was a little bit jealous about that. But also the way the living accommodations were, how they put the apartments on campus, and also the expansion of the campus with the new buildings, and how unified the campus looked, and just all of those different things. I would say that the academics probably were still as strong as they were when I was there, which I think is a really good selling point. And also the same with the liberal arts. My degree is Bachelor of Science in Business Administration, but still went through the Western Civ program and some of the other electives that rounded out the liberal arts education. So I thought those were good things to see her experiencing as well.
Yeah. So you both took different paths, but found success in what you ended up doing. I wanted to ask Marianne, I know that you continued to stay involved with the business school, or what is now called, Providence College School of Business, where, my understanding is you're going to be taking over the leadership position for the Business Advisory Council. Can you tell me a little bit about that experience, continuing to be involved and now having this opportunity to help lead and form what PCSB has now become?
Sure. So when I was there, I was in the second class of girls. And so accounting at that time was still a man's occupation. But so there were a handful of female accounting majors at that point in time. And then I started being asked back. I had worked at Deloitte, and I was asked back to career fairs and also to speak to the accounting class. They have an introduction to the profession class. And I was honored to be asked to come down and speak. And one of the things that struck me at that point in time was about the fact that the classes were now split about 50-50, males and females. So where I would have looked out at, 60 or 70 students and seen maybe four or five females, now it was 50-50. So it really was different. And then I was asked back each year, and I really liked the accounting professors. And then I was introduced to Sylvia, and I just think she's wonderful and believe in everything that she's trying to do for the business school. And so I wanted to get involved with that. And I have been involved in it and have seen what a great school it is. And I know I'm a little biased, but what a great school it has become. The students, I've gotten a chance to meet some of them. And they are so impressive when they give their presentations and even just meeting them. It's a very proud moment for me to be involved with that school.
I definitely hear that from a lot of our alumni who come back and who are involved in one way or another, that really seeing the experience of the current students is what makes it all worthwhile. It's fun to come back and connect with friends and come back and connect with the campus, but then learning a little bit about the student experience today is very exciting. So right now we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Women at Providence College, and we've been doing that all year long, bringing in guest speakers and just looking for ways to really empower our current students, our alumni, and tell the stories that maybe wouldn't have been told otherwise. So I was just wondering, you know, Maura, your mom was in the second class of women at Providence College. And I'm just curious if you have ever kind of talked about what her experience might have been like different than yours in terms of your experience maybe as a woman or as a student at a very different time in the college's history.
She definitely brought up the cafeteria quite a few times and would then tell her siblings and say, can you believe it? Because the first grandchildren to go to PC was my cousin and myself, and we were the cool. same year. So for them to experience that next generation going in, it was for the first time at the same time for everyone. So we'd come back during Thanksgiving and things like that and be talking about how certain dorms were once upon a time male only, now they were female only, or they were split, and which dorm was my grandfather in. So we would have those discussions as a family. So she definitely mentioned that a few times. So I was very grateful for all the options in the different parts of the campus, the new buildings that had happened as well. For me, in the psychology degree program, most of those classes tend to be more females in the classes, but the profession itself isn't necessarily isolated to that. But at the undergrad level, it tends to be kind of leaning one way. And then there's all different levels in the psychology, you know, with masters and doctorate and things like that, where it all expands out. So it was definitely different for me, not necessarily being in a male dominated field per se. So that experience, and I know, you know, when my mom was going to school, she would tell me about stories from then that there was sometimes comments to her of like, you're not supposed to be good at this. You're not supposed to be doing better than us or things like that. So that was definitely a different experience from when I was there, because I really didn't find any that any way male, anything like that competitive piece. So that was definitely a different world to think of how, and her time, she was the second class. So she entered and there was only one other grade above her that had women. So there was still two whole grades that were still male only, just by the starting point. So that's just wild to think of when I look out across campus, how it would have been a different experience there. So.
And with that first graduating class, it has been predominantly, it's been more than 50% women since then with graduating classes, mm-hmm. and continues to be that way. Maura, tell me a little bit about how the psychology program at PC became a jumping off point to where you went with your career.
So the psychology field, I mentioned how it was, you know, interesting to me, and I started to get more into that. I think that's also what helped me dissect my own rebellious spirit. And just really that curiosity, it was really fueled by all the options within the psychology degree program. There were subspecialties. So I perceived it, and I know we did some testing to compare on other programs. I perceived it a very strong psychology department, that I got a lot of different perspectives. I heard about a lot of different psychologists, ways to approach it, things like that. So I got to, as I went on and on my years, really narrow down what I was interested in. And then from there, I went right into a master's program. And so I'm a board certified behavior analyst and a licensed mental health counselor. So I still couldn't make up my mind on one. I decided to double down and do two things, which are two competing sciences in some regard and just bring them together. So I am a behavior analyst for a public school. So, one of the reasons why I'm special and my district wanted to work with me was that I have the mental health side. I have that background from psychology and can really, you know, hone in on, you know, mental health and behavior. There's a big fusion between the two. So I support all the district kids, all the pre-K through 12th grade and you know, providing consultation to any teacher, anything like that. With my big thing is for kids to be understood. There's definitely some people that learn differently and they might be misunderstood, or I believe a lot of the adults in their world, if only they knew, they're looking to how to understand. They want someone to unlock that with that experience, observe and say, okay, here's some more information. So definitely starting from high school where my interest was piqued in those classes and jumping right in at PC and going forward, that was really fueled by all the options. And I actually really zoned in on the brain at PC was my interest. And I had great professors there. Dr. Gilmet was great with really honing in on that interest. And I loved, you know, diagnoses and all those things. So it just made sense that I ended up with my two certifications that I did. And I'm excited to help others with it. So every day is a new day.
That's great. So yeah, it sounds like you were able to accomplish that goal of getting to something where you were helping others. You mentioned Dr. Gilmet. I'm wondering if Marianne, if there's somebody that on the staff, on the faculty that really helped you while you were in the accounting program, you know, mentioning again that it was early on in when women were actually taking these accounting classes definitely the minority in those classes.
Yes. So in accounting, one of the nicest people you would ever meet, and I know he recently passed away, was Gus Cote. And he was very, very welcoming. And actually being in there, like I said, there was a handful of women, but it didn't really occur to me that I was doing anything different because they were so welcoming and they made it seem like it was normal. Some of the students, as Maura said, would tease me and say I shouldn't be getting such good grades. But he was very good. It was until after I left PC and actually entered into public accounting that I realized that it was something different. Because I'd go to a firm and I'd be like the second woman they ever hired or the third one, or, you know, very early on like that. And that's when it struck me that it had been different, but I wasn't made to feel different when I was at PC.
So I wanted to turn back to talking a little bit about the family connections that you both have, even beyond just the two of you as mom and daughter legacy at PC. I understand, Marianne, there's a scholarship in your father's name and more in your grandfather's name. And it has a specific connection to the academic services department. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about what inspired that scholarship.
So having the scholarship at all was a way to honor my dad. As I said, he was a very proud alumni, excuse me. And so we wanted to honor him. And I had been speaking with people in the development office about doing something like that, and then spoke to my siblings and also Maura and other family members about possibly how would we differentiate this scholarship from other ones. And I think Maura can give a little more insight into that, why we picked academic services.
Yeah, so academic services, some people might not even know it exists on campus, but for those who need it, it's a godsend, and it levels the playing field to be able to get the awesomeness out of PC. So for those that learn differently, including myself, you access academic services, and there are, you know, people there that are supporting you. And one of them for me was Jen Rivera. And she just has helped countless students. I even sent a family friend her direction when I was, you know, graduated, and I would get, you know, notes and letters from that family saying that the only reason it was possible for their son to go to PC, which was his dream, was because of her. So it's just such a powerful thing. And like I said, if you don't know about it, you don't need it. You might not even know it exists. And it's important for those to support those that learn differently. And as I mentioned, that's what I, you know, do professionally every day as well. So I was grateful that my family, you know, they wanted to do something in my grandfather's honor, but in terms of how to differentiate it, they were open to my suggestions. And thinking of that could be really powerful for someone who needed that support.
What a wonderful combination of family interests and efforts to make that happen. You said that you have a different way of learning. Are you comfortable sharing what that might be about?
Yeah, sure. So I have ADHD, and I also have like a processing speed like piece to it. So when it came to reading, for example, like civ courses, there's a lot of reading. That's really dense, but in terms of understanding a concept spoken out loud and giving it back to you, I excel. So it's a differentiated there. So those supports exist to help you out. And I actually was on some disability panels with a number of people representing different disabilities to talk about what that looks like, what that experience is like. Those were for students that were becoming special education teachers at PC. So we really got interconnected, which was great. But yeah, so for myself, you know, looking at my performance, when I say level the playing field, I'm a very high performer, but the way I do it might be differently. So to unlock that access might be in a different way. And then once I do that, probably going to do better than you. I say that as a joke, but it's hard for people to understand if they are not familiar with it. But in terms of, you know, academic services, Jen Rivera, though, you know, the people there, they get it. And they absolutely support you in advocating for yourself and also normalizing, because you have to produce a letter to each professor to say that you have this difference. You don't have to say what the difference is, but you have to say your accommodations. And that can be a nerve-wracking moment of here I go again. I have to, you know, out myself. But they were just so great, and they would do the advocacy work for you, submit that letter. But if there was any questions, they're the ones taking care of it. They're the ones, you know, working out any of those barriers for you. And I actually, taking notes was not one of my difficulties. So I ended up being a note taker for other people there. I'd never know who was receiving my notes because it's confidential, but I know I'd take my notes. I'd go and copy them. On the due date and things like that. So it's funny how that all comes full circle, how mine looks different, but someone else was helping me, like the audiobooks were helping me. So yeah, it's a really special place. I know some students might've gone there for maybe like writing support, just have someone read their essay, things like that, but there's so much there. And it depends on what you need. And so, it's really awesome. And I'm, you know, so glad that we got to, you know, differentiate it for that, because it was special to me. I know it was special to a lot of people, even more than me. You know, I know that there's people that got a lot more support than I did. So I just, you know, I'm so excited to give back to that place, those students that learn differently. And everyone chips away and gets more understood and gets to level the playing field and get everything they can out of PC.
Well, what a cool experience to understand how academic services was able to support your learning experience and to be able to then participate in providing that for somebody else. What, it's a great experience that must have been. And I do know that this is an area, and I'm sure you're aware, that is in higher ed is more and more staff are needed, more and more support services are needed as the challenging academics are moving through. And obviously in the most recent couple of years with the pandemic and different type of learning modalities that were introduced, then some new ways of some new struggles for students came to light that weren't there before. So it's certainly an area of importance here at PC. So the fact that there's a scholarship in that area, I know that the college is very grateful for, and what a wonderful story that it's connected back to the family. Right before we jumped on the podcast, Marianne, you were telling me that in addition to you and Maura, within the family, number 14 is coming into Providence College this fall. Is that what you said?
That's correct. Number 14.
That's amazing.
My youngest niece will be the number 14 to go to PC.
And so she'll be class of 2026. So what is your father the first member of the family that would have graduated? So is that the span?
Yes. So he was 51.
Uh-huh. Excellent.
Yes. So from 51 to 2026.
Yeah. So that's the class that's coming in. Yeah. That's exciting.
From 1972 through 1986, there was at least one Daugherty, if not multiple Daughertys, on the PC campus. The last sister that went there graduated in 86. So that's a, 14 year time span where there was always at least one of us there.
And it sounded like there was some overlap too with some cousins.
Oh yes, there was overlap. So I was there and my sister's 2 years behind me. Then my brother was 2 years behind her. And then, on down the road at one time, there was three were there at the same time. That was the most. But most of the time there were two.
And Maura, you and your cousin were there at the same time?
Yeah. So my cousin and I were the same year. And then we have another cousin who was 2 years behind us. So at one point there was three of us on the campus at the same time.
That must have made for some fun family weekends and maybe hockey games together and things like that.
One thing I wanted to tell you, Friar Spirit piece that our family does, for example, that cousin, one of my cousins just was married this summer, and we do it at every wedding, is we gather a Providence College banner and we have the DJ announce Providence College photo is going to happen. And they say the meeting spot, and we all get out there, and anyone that went to Providence College comes out for the group photo. The photographer takes it. It's also fun to see. There's always a few guests in the mix as well. That went to PC as well. So we usually get this huge crowd in front of this flag. And it's also kind of fun because sometimes I hear other people when it's happening going, oh, well, what about this school? And what about that school? No, sorry, they're not getting a photo. It's only this one. So that's a fun, tradition we have, and we know it's coming every wedding pretty much. So we'll even be talking about it during the ceremony. Hey, do we know when the PC picture is going to happen? Oh, I'm sure they'll announce it. So that's a fun thing we do.
That's so great. I'm wondering, I have a question that I know many of us had a wonderful spring rooting on the Friars and very excited about how the basketball team did. And I'm wondering if that is part of your connection to the college as well, and that if your family gets together and watches the games and what that kind of family Friar spirit is like.
Well, we haven't gotten together and watched the games, but there's always texts going around about supporting the team. And actually, my family has gotten in quite a bit to the hockey as well. Big hockey fans. So we're very interested in the PC hockey and going to the different games.
And having won a national championship within the last few years, that was quite an exciting moment for sure.
That was an exciting moment.
So I just had one last question for the both of you. And again, right before we started, I heard that there that you have a new, maybe a future friar in the family, Maura, that you have a 1 year old. But I'm curious, what are you all doing for Mother's Day?
Oh, that's a great question. I guess I'm not used to it applies to me as well. Mom, what are we doing?
That's a great question because we just had Easter, which was really, really nice. We had Maura sponsored a nice brunch and we got to spend time with her and my son-in-law and granddaughter and my son-in-law's parents. And it was just a really nice, relaxing time. When my mom was still alive, we would all get together. But she passed away kind of early into COVID. So we haven't gotten back into the cycle of everybody getting together. We have a pretty big family with six siblings of mine. Everybody's married. There were 20 grandchildren. I think now there's probably close to 20 great grandchildren. So very big, big family affairs. And so we're also getting used to having smaller celebrations as well. So I guess that's a long answer to say we really haven't planned Mother's Day yet, but we know it will be nice.
Well, wonderful. I'm sure whatever you do, it will be a lovely time. And there'll probably be some friar chatter, knowing all the connections. Mm-hmm. But we're really glad that you're part of our friar family. And whatever you are planning for Mother's Day, I hope it's a wonderful one for both of you. So thank you so much for being on the PC podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Stacia.
Thanks again to Marianne and Maura, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms in our Friar family. For the Providence College Podcast, I'm your host, Stacia Walmsley, along with producer Chris Judge. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the PC Podcast and review and share with others. Thank you for listening.